Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Okay, so we are on the third week about talking about breaking the curse of words. Okay, so not curse words. Like, maybe you have a problem with curse words. We'll work on that another week. Okay, but this is actually when words are spoken over you, and maybe it's a comment. Maybe it was a stern talking. Maybe it's an ex. Maybe it was a parent. But where somebody has just said something, it kind of just sunk down into your spirit. And it never actually left. And you never really outgrew that. And so I want to talk about that this morning. And last week, Dr. V shared, and she did it, three weeks ago. She shared, but Pastor Jess broke it open, which I thought was so powerful because, Pastor Jess, you were so vulnerable. Thank you for leading us that way. You know, like, thank you for putting your heart on the pulpit, basically. And it was good because I'm 38 years old. I'm going to be 39 this month. And it's like, I'm still talking with girls about how somebody has hurt my feelings with their words. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not immature and it's not childish because everybody in this room can relate. And so maybe you've been able to overcome some things, but maybe you haven't. And maybe you're in a really good place, but God is having you here to hear this message to help another person out. And so either way, God has something for us. But Dr. V shared about using the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word. And Dr. V, when you preach, I just appreciate, girl, you preach with such conviction. It's like, if she said it, I believe it. Okay, Dr. V said it, so it's true, everybody. All right, and so good. So I'm just going to dive into more of applying the word of God in that area. So really bringing application of the word. And we're going to dig into that. But first, I wanted to kind of share my experience because I think when we share our testimonies, then other people can relate. And it's like, oh, I didn't know she felt that way. Well, I felt that way too. And so with words with me, like, of course, people have said mean or rude things. And I've been able to get over it. But I think just recently, within like maybe the last decade or so, It's almost like words that weren't spoken directly at me, but almost like secondhand smoke. Do you know what I mean? Like, you heard other people talking, and then you're like, oh, I wonder if that could happen to me. You know, or I wonder if, when they said that, were they actually talking about me? And, you know, it's almost like I started to get all these insecurities that nobody actually told me personally, but I would just put them on, kind of like carrying a backpack. And then, you know, I would be so fearful. I mean, maybe it was just me raising young kids, but did anyone else feel like super fearful when your kids were really small? And I think it was because I was just absorbing so much. And we have a lot of information, like too much information right now, right? With everybody with social media and news and things like that. And so we have to be careful what sinks into our hearts. But just like Pastor Jess, I felt the same way. When you're a woman at a pulpit, people do tend to say women get screechy and stuff. And so then you start, that carries and that weighs on you, and you almost spiral, or you can, at least I have, where it's like, well, then nobody wants to hear me anyways. Like, why? And that's like my whole job. So what am I here for? Like, all I do is talk. But, and even recently I was sharing in front of some people, and a friend of mine who's, you know, didn't mean it in a bad way, but he doesn't know the feelings that I've had. He said, oh yeah, I heard you talking. Sound like you were yelling. And I was like, you know what? Must be nice to have bass in your voice. Cause like, I don't have that. So whatever, you know? And, but of, you know, it's just so funny how people could say things and they don't know what you've been told in the past. And then all of a sudden it's almost like accelerant on the fire that's already burning. And you're like, thanks a lot. And so, but when we get these tools to help us overcome those things, I'm telling you, girls, you are built into a whole nother level and a whole nother strength that this world needs to see. This world needs to see women who are overcomers and not psycho. Okay, this world needs to see women who have been healed so that we can raise up other women. You know, there's a lot of promoting of so many things, but you ought to be proud of the testimony God has given you. And you ought to talk about it and you ought to share it because it builds faith, ladies. It builds faith. And so I was thinking about this subject And I feel like a lot of us, maybe we don't realize it, but a lot of us are like soil. We're like a garden. And I think Women Rock just did kind of a series about that a few months ago. But we really are like a garden. And when people speak things into your life, those seeds can drop into that soil. And some will take and some won't. But sometimes those negative comments or those bad experiences that you have, they begin to grow a weed. And that weed never leaves that soil. You see, when I have, you know, I have three kids, and I teach my kids how to tend their soil, right? Like if somebody says something bad to them, or maybe there's something ungodly going on, I quickly pull up that seed. And I say, no, we don't need to do that. There's no profit in that. Here's God's way on how to do that. And we protect our children and we teach them how to do that. Because when they're teenagers, there's all types of stuff flying at them, right? And hopefully we've raised them well to where they can recognize a weed and a flourishing plant. And they can, for themselves, begin to pull those weeds out of their soil. But maybe you, as a child, maybe there wasn't anyone there to protect you. Maybe there wasn't anyone to say, yeah, you don't need to have that in your garden. That's not something that's going to help you, and that's not something that's going to flourish. So maybe even now, here we are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and you find that you have these weeds because as a child, nobody protected you. And I want to tell you that there is hope, that God is good, and that there is the application of the word that is going to pull up those weeds from that soil. Because, darling, you are a beautiful, beautiful garden. And God wants to plant things in you that are going to grow and flourish, that are going to bless you and bless others around you. So just think of it that way as people say things. I remember my daughter came home, and she was maybe like 7 years old, and she said, I don't even know why she brought it up, but she just said, a little boy called me ugly. And she just began to cry. And I was like, wait, what? Who did this? But that's the types of stuff that we need to pluck out and say, no, baby girl, you're not ugly. He's ugly. No, I'm just kidding. But you begin to pull that up. And it's actively tending your garden. Because we are in this world. We don't know the day we're going to walk into heaven where everything is perfect. We don't know that day when Jesus is coming back. So here we are in the midst of the world. And yes, the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Absolutely. But there's a lot of ignorant people walking around this world who are not operating in the gifts of the Spirit, but in the lusts of the flesh. And without even knowing that they are having the attributes of the devil himself, they're probably not even possessed by a demon. That's just them. Like, that's just the flesh. That's just what it is. And so you tending your garden and realizing, okay, that's a little bit much. I'm not going to receive that. That's good. That's good stewardship of your heart and who you are. And a lot of times our eyes need to be opened to things that we thought was a flourishing virtue, but it's actually just a big weed. Do you know what I'm saying? Like some scars we wear as badges of honor, and we think it's a virtue. You know, I'm tough. I'm mean. You know, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And we realize we think that's a virtue, but maybe that's something God needs to tweak because a seed was planted that you need to uproot. I remember talking to this woman just this past year, and she doesn't go to church, but from afar off, I'm like, wow, this girl got it together. Like, look at her. She's a businesswoman. She's a single woman. She's making a ton of money, and she's telling me all about it. Okay, and so look at her. But then I get closer and closer, and that's how some gardens are, right? You're like, wow, the garden's so green. That person has it together. And then you get closer, and you're like, that's just a weed. What? This isn't a garden. And so this lady, I'm talking to her, finally the conversation erupts. And I'll just tell you the pinnacle of the conversation. It was pretty much a message from her saying, well, you know, whatever, I don't need you, and I wipe my butt with $100 bills. And I was like, that's a new one. And then I was like, Richard, you got to come listen to this. Okay, but, you know, those types of words, it didn't hurt me because I was laughing. I was like, this is so crazy. Like, this is hilarious. Okay. And then after that, I felt really sorry for her because the way she came off, the front she put up, it was like, what happened to you, girl? Like, what happened to you in your life where you feel like you have to push so hard that you're leaving me messages like that? Like it's just interesting what sometimes we can look up to, but then we dig a little bit deeper, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and a little self-reflection on yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what the series really is all about. And so I want to talk a little bit about how people say my truth. And I want to dive into that a little bit and kind of get some vocabulary straightened out, because I hear a lot about, well, my truth is this, this, and this. And that sounds like maybe some what Breaking Free, I think, would call inner vows, right? That happen when you're a young child, or maybe in your 20s, or maybe it was during a marriage or something like that. And so a lot of people say, well, my truth is this. Well, speak your truth. And I hear the sentiment in that, but I think we're getting some vocabulary mixed up, because I think we're meaning to say my experience. My experience is this. And from that experience, I found this. Instead of saying that this is the truth. See, when we say this is the truth and this is my truth and this is what I've decided, it leaves no room for the Holy Spirit to come in and change anything, because truth is truth. But if we just simply switch around those words, then all of a sudden you've left room for the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And that doesn't have to be your truth, babe. That's just your experience. That's just your experience. And then we leave room for the real truth, which is God's word, the real truth. And so when we apply God's word, then there can be healing. And when we're applying God's word to the wound, then that can be our truth. So sometimes I've heard the saying, all men are dogs, right? Like, well, that's your experience. Okay, I hear you. Like, that was probably a terrible thing. Maybe a man mistreated you. But I don't think all men are dogs. In fact, the truth in the word of God says that God has asked men to love their wives as Christ loves the church in Ephesians 6. Do you see how the world is going to say, well, your experience is your truth, but now you can take your experience and God's building you a whole nother truth with his word, if that makes sense, all right? So, you know, people say things like that, or maybe they say, well, money is just for this type of person. Money doesn't come to people like me. I could never be prosperous. I could never get out of the street that I'm on or the city that I'm in. And then the word of God says that he wants to bless you abundantly, overflowing, pressed down, shaken together. And so maybe your experience has been that that's what you've seen, but God has a truth for you that he's going to take you far above that. So start applying that truth to your life. Or maybe you've heard it say, the universe hates me. Right? Like that's like the new thing. The universe hates me. Girl, the universe don't even know you're alive. Like, the universe is the universe, okay? But God knows every hair on your head. God knows you, and that's the truth. So things that we've heard and things that we've experienced, we've got to make sure that doesn't line up with the truth of God. And that only comes with the courage of actually coming to God and actually talking to him about your situation, which takes a lot of courage. I remember a friend, I'm just going to set up a little something here, but I remember a friend of mine talking with her. I was meeting with her about her teenage son. And while talking with her, she was saying, bringing up some stuff from her past. And I was like, girl, I think you should go to Breaking Free. Like, the things that you've been through as a kid, that's really hard. And I feel like you're kind of projecting some stuff onto your son. And she said, oh, no. I can't do Breaking Free. This is when Breaking Free just started. She's like, I already been to counseling. I already seen a therapist. And it was so painful for me to open up that old memory that I will never open that up again. And it was, and she's such a sweet person. Like, she was my friend. And I just thought, oh, I don't know. All I can do is pray for you and believe that God is going to give you the courage to do that. But I want to encourage you girls to have that courage, because God does want to do something with you, but you've got to be willing to meet with him and not just say the Christian lingo, in a sense, where we just say, oh, you know, I'm going to head into church today. Don't worry, I'm not singing. I'm going to head into church today, and I'm going to meet with God, and God is going to speak to me. Hold on. I could never sing, obviously, for these reasons. And he's going to meet with me, and I'm going to have a moment with him. But first, let me just get ready. You know. And we put on our helmet, and then we put on some other gear, right? Where we think, well, I know I want God to search my heart, oh God, and show if there's any unclean thing in me. But then we start putting on all this protective gear. Let's see if my Spanx work today. Nope. Okay, and we think, well, you know, God, I know you're going to speak to me, and I know that, God, you can do all things, Lord. You can do anything, God. Just don't touch me, Lord. Okay? I'm just going to pray for my friend. And we have all our protective gear on, and we say, God, come into my heart and do what you must, but you can only get this far. And this is as far as you can get. Because to open anything up would be too painful. To go back to where I was would be too painful. Yes, I know the word of God is powerful. Shandala. Okay, I know that it can divide anything. But it can't heal what hurt me. It can't take away that conversation that I had with my dad. It can't take away that conversation of what my ex did. I won't preach like this the whole time. But I think you get, sorry guys. But I think you get the idea, right? Where we say we want God to do something, but then it's almost like we don't have the courage to do it. And that can be a little bit of Christianese, where we have the words that we're speaking, but we're not having the actions backing it up. That's applying the word. That's applying the word, where we actually take off the helmet, where we actually open up the wound and we say, God, come and heal this. I believe that you are the healer. I believe that you can do this, Lord. You know, why do we want to get free from these words? Maybe you've lived with it this far, right? Like, we've said things like that. Well, I've already lived with it this far. You know, it already is what it is right now. And why can't I just keep on living like this? I remember hurting my Achilles heel a couple years ago. And I just kept going, and I was doing soccer practices with my son. I was exercising, and I just kept ignoring the pain. And I just didn't have time to do anything with it. I didn't know what to do with it, so just kept going as usual. And then I started changing my shoes to try to make sure, well, maybe my shoes will fix it. And it just kept getting worse and worse to the point where I was getting out of my car, and I couldn't even lift up my leg. I had to use my hand to lift up my leg, and it was your heel. This is way down here. It was affecting all up my back. And it's so crazy how we learn to live with pain and we nurse it for a while, but it's not going to last forever, girls. You don't need to live like that. That is not your best life. Why not live your best life now? Why not live heaven on earth? Why are we trying to let hell stay in our lives when God's promised us heaven on earth? He loves you. Live in his best life. And it says in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth. Will be permitted in heaven. Okay, no worries. God's given you that life. And I want to tell you, heaven on earth is the privilege of the born-again person. Heaven on earth is the privilege of the born-again person. Not everybody gets it, but born-again people get it. We get it, so why don't we walk in it? Why don't we have the courage to walk into that? Live your best life. Live your fullest. We say it, we sing it, now let's live it. It's time to take off the floaty and dive in with God and let God heal you. Let him heal you. You know, I had COVID in December, and it was just a mild case, but I still have not gotten my smell back. So, yeah, it's really sad. So I'm all laugh, cry, but I still don't have my smell back. And so I'm operating off of 4 senses right now, and that is not fun. I've already ruined 2 pans because while I'm cooking, I cannot smell smoke. Like, I cannot smell burning, so I walk downstairs. I'm like, oh, you know when you burn something so bad that the pan is now ruined, okay? When I smell, I know that there's a smell, but I couldn't tell you what it is. It's really strange. So I'm just operating off of four senses. I'm believing for my healing. In fact, I'll pray for healing. You know, it's kind of, when you a preacher, nobody gave an altar call for your healing. You just make your own, okay? So I'll lay hands on myself now. But it really is annoying. Like, it's like I'm used to my five senses, and now I only have four, and I have to rely on the other four of them. So I'm watching the food I'm cooking, right? And I'm setting timers to hear the food that I'm cooking. So I realize, okay, I can't smell that the food is done, but I know because I set a timer, it should be done. So it's really strange, but maybe that's how you've been feeling with life. Maybe that's how you've been feeling because somebody told you you'd never be like this, or you'd never be smart enough to that, or you're not pretty enough to do that. And you've kind of canceled that out of your life. It's like, well, that's never going to happen for me. But I want to tell you that God is good, and he is the healer, and he will restore back to you. And it's time to start applying his word. The potential that is inside of you is too great. It's too good. You have too much of a good life ahead of you, and you need to be an example to somebody else around you that says, that's the good life, that's the God life, and I want him. I want God. And we can do that by living in an example. So here are just some different ways to apply the word. And before I get to that, I want to read Matthew 4:3. And I think Dr. V shared this verse, or Pastor Jess, but it's worth sharing again. See, the whole reason that we apply the word of God is because we understand the word of God. And as we understand it, it builds trust. So you're working on a relationship with trust. As you learn the word, you are learning God. That relationship is developing. These are not, I hope I don't offend anybody. This ain't Harry Potter, guys, okay? It's not like I'm trying to say some certain words in a certain manner to cast something. Does that make sense? I'm building a relationship with a real God who loves me, who cares about me. And as I'm building that trust, he's moving on my behalf, and I believe he's going to, because it's building faith. In Matthew 4, verse number 3, this is when Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness, and it says, during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Sounds awesome. Like, that's probably how the devil would get me, with bread. No, I'm just kidding. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so Jesus kept coming back at him with the scripture. Coming back at him with the scripture. Now, I was a 90s kid. I grew up in youth ministry. Like, we had all the Carmen skits, right? And it's like we would, you know, get the word, and then a firebolt would come out of it, right? Pew, pew. Okay, like, that's my imagination, right? But what Jesus is saying, like, I hear what you're saying, Satan, but that's not the truth. Because he has a relationship with God the Father, he knows the trust, he has the faith. He said, no, that's not how it works. This is what the truth is. This is the truth. And you know what it says in verse number 11 after Jesus did that three times? Then the devil went away. Then the devil went away. But a lot of times we come into church, we go to the altar, and we say, why didn't it just disappear? Why didn't it just disappear? And Jesus himself had to say it three times to the devil, and then the devil went away. So I want to encourage you to keep on at it. God is working on your behalf. That truth is being built up inside of you to where you're not going to believe anything that the devil tries to plant a seed in your heart. And so when you learn and understand the word, then fake news, fake stuff, what the devil's trying to tempt you with is easier to spot. You know what the truth is. So here are some ways to apply the word. And I'm just going to go through a list. You can write it down or you can just listen. But just have an arsenal of Bible verses. Like, that's the easiest, right? Like, remember back in the days we used to memorize Bible verses? Like, Pastor Sue, when I was in your children's ministry, I would memorize Bible verses for a Jolly Rancher. Like, that's all it took. If I just had a Jolly Rancher. But those scriptures, they're in my tool belt right now. And so if the devil or somebody says something that just sinks down into my spirit, I just pull that out and I just remember, you know what? No, this is the truth. This is the truth. So write them on index cards. Put them on as a screensaver on your phone. Write a notes page in your phone. Save something in your notebook so that you have those scriptures that are going to build you up. Pray the word of God. Pray the word of God. That's another way to apply it. Pray it while you're alone and pray it with other people. Pray it around this table. Pray it with your children. Pray it with your husband. Pray the word of God. Be in church. Be in church. Do you know that breakthroughs happen underneath the revelation of the word of God? And a preacher could be talking, and all of a sudden, it just clicks. Have you ever? I mean, wave at me if you can testify where you've heard a word, and you're like, I get it now. And that's a breakthrough. That's breaking a stronghold. The word can break so much. Breaking free. Get into breaking free. Like, it's an amazing ministry, and if you get a chance to jump into it, that will drop kick the devil real quick. Okay? Get into that. Read books. You know, listen to teaching. You know, get the word of God inside of you. If you need to go to a Christian counselor, get to a Christian counselor. Get spiritual guidance here at the Rock Church, where we get into the word of God and we guide you through the word. Talk the word out with friends. Talk the word. That's why this isn't just rows of chairs, but it's in a circle so that you girls can talk about the word of God. Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about that? Well, I heard this, and everybody starts chiming in, and then all of a sudden, it's just building that faith inside of you. Mentorship. If you want to be mentored or discipled by somebody, get somebody that you know, you look up to, that's a godly person. And then the best one I love of this is practice it. The best way to apply the word is to practice the word, is to do the word. And we can't practice it until we know it. And so as we begin to fill it inside of us, then we begin to practice it and live our best life. Because here's the thing, living in the fear of the Lord is not a bad thing. It just sounds scary. Because living in the fear of the Lord is just living in the wisdom of God. This is the best way to live. This is the best marriage, God's marriage. This is the best way for me to raise my kids, God's way. And as you live it, you're going to practice it, and you're applying that to you. And then the last one is worship music. I mean, play those worship songs. I love Maverick City Elevation right now. Like, I don't know if you girls listen to it, but it's like a whole story. Like, it's a 10-minute story, and I love it. It was like, I was in a church basement, and a guy had a guitar. And I'm like, he's just telling a story, and it's so good. Like, yes, tell me that story, because it builds my faith as he sings the word of God. So, okay, last thing, because this is a Bible study. Last one is 3 points on ways to see the word. Number one, healing balm. A healing balm. His healing to you. That when you finally take off those protective gears and you finally let God in, he will be healing to you. It may be a little bit painful. Have you ever tried to put alcohol on your kids' scabs? Wow. Wow. Right? Are we like that sometimes? God's like, I haven't even touched you yet. You're like, ah! And let him come in and be that healing balm to you. He loves you. He is good. It says, I have a verse up here in Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Those words that maybe somebody has spoken over you, he's carried those sorrows for you. In fact, one name for Jesus is the man of sorrows. He understands what you're going through. Says, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He is your healing balm. Let him come into that area. Psalms 107, verse number 20, it says, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. See those walls that you've built up that you won't let God in? It's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to not living your best life. It's going to lead to the Achilles heel where it's like, yes, you managed it for this far, but what about the next relationship, and what are you going to pass down to your kids? So let it be that healing balm, the word of God. Number two is edifying. The word of God, you need to see that the word of God is edifying for you. it is the building blocks to the new you. You are a new creation. And so the Word of God is your foundation on what you are going to build on. So apply it to your life. Let Him build you up. He's restoring things that the devil took. He's restoring things that people have said to you. And He is going to build a brand new you, a brand new confidence inside of you. Let Him build. Let Him build with His Word. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. And the new life has begun. Oh, isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting that God has new life for you? He has new life in that situation. Ephesians 4:11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we preach the word and we have a bajillion church services and we do teas and, you know, we have a whole soccer league. Do you know what we're doing? We're just sneaking in the word. Okay. I mean, that's all we're doing. And so that we can edify the church and build up the church. And then it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen to this, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, every my truth, my experience, what that person said about me. What does the truth say about you? Let's edify. Let's let the word edify you. By the trickery of man, the cunning of craftiness, of the deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint that supplies according to the effective working by which each and every part does its share, causes growth for the body for the edifying of itself in love. This plan that God has is too great for you to sit back with your Achilles heel. You've got work to do in the kingdom. You've got a job to do with your children. You've got a job to do with your husband. You've got a job to do in the Inland Empire and around this world. And so it is worth it to dig in, to open up, and to say, God, heal. God, let me apply the word to you because He loves you and He wants the best future for you. So did you girls get something out of that? Good. Praise God. Well, we're going to go to the tables in just a minute, but I just want to make sure everybody in this room is right with God. I want to make sure that you're like, wow, like this sounds awesome. Like, yeah, I want to join. Okay. And I want to give you a chance to do that. Have you given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? Have you given Him everything? You know, a simple question to kind of see where you're at is that if you were to die today, God forbid, but if something were to happen, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Ask yourself that question. You say, well, I think I'd go to heaven. Maybe I'd go to heaven. I actually never think about this. Now's a good time to just think about it. You know, we want you to leave here knowing that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. And we don't get there by good works. We don't get there by being a good person. You know, being a good person is great, but that does not get you into heaven. In fact, it doesn't happen by church attendance, by giving any money to the church or anything like that. We can't buy our way into heaven. You know, the only way that we can get to heaven is by being born again. And born again is a surrender of all your heart, all your life, giving everything to God. And if you've never done that, then I want to give you the chance to do that this morning. Today's your day of salvation. Today's your day to start. Today's your day to take off that protective gear and say, God, I want to give you all my heart. I want to give you all of my life. And He is welcoming you in. No matter what background you have, no matter where you came from, God cares about you and He is ready to accept you with open arms because He loves you. What I'm going to do is I want to pray with you. And I'm just going to go ahead and have you raise your hand if I'm talking to you. I'm going to go like this, one, two, three. I'm just going to hit my hand on this pulpit just so that there's a sound that you know, okay, that's me. I want to raise my hand. And you're saying, raise my hand? Like what? Like, I don't know any of these people. I don't know what they're going to think. Who cares what they think? This is your relationship with God. And if we can't stand in church, how are we going to stand in the world? Choose him today. Listen, he chose you. He loves you. He cared about you. He hung on a cross in front of everybody for you, gave his life for you, so that hopefully on this day that you would choose him. So on the count of three, get your hand up. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Today is the day of salvation. From this side to this side, from the front to the back, if I'm talking to you, get ready. One, two, three. Let me see your hands in this place. Let me see your hand. If you have not given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, go ahead and get your hand up. All right, well, praise God. We got a believers meeting. That's good. That's all right. That's all right. Let's bring some people in 2 weeks, right, Julia? And so bring a friend, invite somebody. We meet on the 2nd and the 4th, of course. And fill these tables up with girls. But, hey, ladies, I am just so honored to teach that with you. You know, it's something that we go through, all of us do, just like Pastor Jess shared her heart. And can I pray with you real quick? If you are feeling like, you know, there's a word, when you were talking to me, I feel like there was something specific standing out that I really need to break. Then we're in a room of faith believers, obviously. We just did a whole altar call, okay? And so if that's you, Pastor Joanna, you guys started breaking free, I think I was probably in my 20s. So as a teenager, we didn't have anything like breaking free. And so what we had was summer camp where they slap you with oil and you fall out in the spirit, right? And God is so good that it's not like there's just one way to get healing. You know, God provides so many different ways, but one of them is standing up for yourself, believing in a room of faith, just like we're doing right now. So if that's you, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to slap you with oil or anything like that, but I am going to pray with you. And so a way to have faith is just to stand up right where you're at. And let's just believe God. No more letting the devil push you around or that thought. So why don't you stand up if that was you? If something was sticking out to you that you know it's just been bothering you, that word that someone said, that word that someone spoke over you, remember the soil and the garden, and you're thinking, you know what? I think that's a weed. I don't think that that's a flourishing plant. Anybody else? All right, brave girls. Hey, brave girls, right? Let's go ahead and pray. I want you to lift your hands towards heaven because God's going to give you something today. He's going to give you your healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are Lord, that you are King, that even when the storms were raging, God, you spoke to them and they were silenced. God, even when the devil came to tempt you, God, you used the word back at him. So, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak over your daughters. And I break any assignment that the devil has on them. Any word that was spoken over them, we uproot that now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are Lord. We break it now, Father. This is just the beginning of healing for them, God. You are going to fill them up with so much more. And we thank you that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.